Hi, dear listener, and welcome back to another episode of the Liberators Network podcast. I am Christian Verwijs, and in this series, we're reading some of our most popular blog posts. In today's episode, we're addressing the myth that story points are required in Scrum, or that all the work on a product backlog must be estimated in story points. Now, the majority of teams that we work with do this, and there really is nothing inherently wrong with it. But the myth begins where people misunderstand the purpose of estimation and story points become an end in themselves. For those unfamiliar with story points, teams that use this technique estimate effort for each item with relative estimates instead of time-based estimates, like hours or days. This is usually done with a simplified version of the Fibonacci sequence. You may have seen it, 0, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 20, etc. The numbers have no meaning in themselves, but only in relation to other items. So an item of 5 points takes roughly twice as much effort from the team as an item of 3 points, and so on. Several methods exist to estimate story points, including planning poker with the cards and magic estimation. Although the use of story points is the most widely spread technique in Scrum teams that we find, we could easily generalize this post to include estimates in hours, ideal days, or t-shirt sizes for that matter. So if you use one of those techniques, this episode is interesting for you as well. Before we dive deeper into this myth, let's begin by looking at what the Scrum Guide has to say on the topic of estimation. Although it states that work may be a varying size or estimated effort, it does not describe or prescribe how this estimation should be done. Although Scrum teams should apply some sort of estimation, there is no mention of story points, hours, ideal days, gut feeling, t-shirt sizes, or any other unit for that matter. The Scrum Guide does remind us to use an approach that respects the complexity of software development and to not let estimation replace the importance of empiricism itself. So we can easily bust this myth with the Scrum Guide alone, but a more thorough explanation will help to better understand why. Let's begin by taking a closer look at the purpose of estimation in Scrum. In plan-based approaches, which Scrum is not, estimates are used to arrive at budgets and to determine delivery dates. Supposing that the estimates are correct, they provide us with a means to manage the financial and non-financial risks of spending either too much money or spending money on building the wrong things. The primary purpose of estimation in Scrum is different. It exists to give development teams a rough sense of the amount of work they can pull into a sprint. This requires a conversation between members. What is involved in building this item? How should it work? And what else is needed? Although the development team commits to achieving the sprint goal, they do not commit to completing all this work within the sprint. As even within a single sprint, unexpected problems and insights are likely to emerge. This underscores that the role of estimates is quite different in Scrum, and something that most people coming from a plan-based approach struggle with. Scrum is built on the observation that software development is a very complex endeavor, making it impossible to arrive at accurate estimates. In complex environments, what will happen in even the near future is largely unknown. New and better insights will emerge and unexpected problems surface as we work together to discover both the problem and the most suitable solution. Instead of relying on estimates to forecast and control what happens in the future, we instead should use the empirical process of Scrum to capitalize on change rather than control against it. As the Scrum Guide observes, only what has already happened may be used for forward-looking decision-making. This provides us with 4 important insights with regards to estimates. The first one is that accurate estimates are impossible, as even the most thorough, detailed technique can't possibly cover all scenarios, potential issues, and insights that may emerge during development, as well as external factors that influence the work, let alone entirely unexpected events, often called black swans. A second insight is that an estimate can be a guarantee. An estimate is simply a prediction based on known information and input at a given point in time. A third insight is that the time we spend on estimation is essentially a form of waste. Estimates are inaccurate at best, and all the work we are estimating is likely to change dramatically as our understanding changes over time, or some of the items may even be dropped from the product backlog altogether. And finally, the estimates themselves are the result of a necessary conversation within the development team to arrive at a shared understanding. So if we consider that estimation is essentially a form of waste in complex environments, instead of spending a lot of time and effort on it, we're better off spending that time building valuable software and using the empirical process of Scrum to learn and control against the risks of building the wrong things or doing it in the wrong order. The question now becomes, what method of estimation is just good enough to help development teams select a doable amount of work for a sprint and getting a sense of what is needed while requiring as little time and effort as possible? One potential technique is to estimate work with a time-based estimate, like hours or ideal days. A major disadvantage of these techniques is that they tend to uphold the illusion of accuracy and predictability, and they are often interpreted as such, maybe not by the Scrum team itself, but at least by people around the Scrum team. Another disadvantage is that their illusion of accuracy often drives teams into analysis paralysis, where all details need to be discussed in depth in order to arrive at a detailed estimate of how many hours or ideal days something will take. This is why the use of relative estimation, and in particular story points, was popularized by extreme programming. Relative estimates are not based on units of time, and avoid all pretense of detail and accuracy. But they can provide development teams with a guide on the amount of work they may be able to complete within a sprint. Suppose a development team has been working together for 20 sprints. The empirical process of Scrum has taught them that they can complete, on average, 35 points of work. This is their so-called velocity. Based on what has already happened, the development team has a rough sense of the amount of the work, about 35 points, that they can pull into their next sprint. Furthermore, this empirical data can be used by the product owner to create a rough forecast for specific features or releases. If a development team can take on 35 story points of work per sprint, and there are 350 story points of work, it would not be unreasonable to anticipate another 10 sprints, at least, to complete the product backlog in its current state. So story points are essentially a lightweight approach to get a rough idea of how much work can be completed in a sprint. It remains a rough indicator, but at least it is based on what has already happened and not on what we hope will happen. Estimation in hours or ideal days is certainly still an option, but teams need to be aware of their disadvantages. In general, we always recommend teams to find other techniques. Despite the initial attractiveness of story points, they are still easily abused, and we've seen many examples of this. For example, they're often used to compare Scrum teams on their performance, or organizations enforce bureaucratic and administrative requirements for estimating each and every item on the product backlog with story points, and then track it in complicated project management systems. So we often recommend teams to use even simpler approaches. The first one is to use the number of items per sprint as a guide to select a doable amount of work. For example, a development team may know from experience that they can complete between 6 and 8 items per sprint. This requires that items are broken down to about equal size. Another technique is to use size buckets as a guide, where the development team classifies items in terms of size, like large, medium, small. It may know from experience that it can complete one large item, between 2 and 3 medium-sized items, and 4 to 6 small-sized items. And the third technique is to simply use a combined gut feeling of the development team to determine if the work selected for the sprint is something they can manage. Although these approaches may complicate forecasting based on historical results compared to story points or time-based estimates, they are viable alternatives that fit really well within the Scrum framework and the purpose of estimation. Now, there is an elephant in the room. If estimation is largely waste, it makes sense to ask, why even bother? This point is raised by the No Estimates movement. They encourage to build small chunks of value, incrementally delivering them to stakeholders as you go, leading as rapidly as possible to desired shippable product, without spending endless hours on trying to predict and control the future. In other words, they shift the focus to optimizing the flow of work during a sprint. Using Kanban within Scrum is an excellent example of this and something we highly recommend. But going deeper into this topic goes beyond the purpose of this podcast. Some form of estimation may still be helpful though, but for reasons other than what you may expect. In many situations, estimation does help focus the conversation within a development team on what is needed for a particular item. Having to arrive at some kind of estimate often helps to trigger the right kind of discussions. What is needed? Can we find a simpler solution? Have we considered this or that solution? Estimation is not so much about the numbers that come out of them or the sizes or whatever you use, but about the discussion that you have. It's about having a conversation, ideally with the actual customer in the room, and creating shared understanding of the work that it entails. That really is the purpose of estimation within Scrum. So what are some helpful tips? The first one is that whatever you do in terms of estimation, make sure to do it with the entire development team. The process of estimation is not solely about resulting number, but perhaps even more about the communication that takes place within the team to arrive at a shared understanding. By pooling your expertise, creativity, and experience, you are more likely to identify some issues that you may miss if you do it on your own or with a small group. A second tip is that some teams want to stick to hour-based estimates because it feels more real or easier to estimate. One approach is to create time buckets with increasing intervals, like 1 hour, between 2 and 3 hours, between 3 and 5 hours, between 5 and 8 hours. This communicates more clearly the growing uncertainty as a result of higher estimates. A third tip is to explore different techniques and determine what works best for your development team, and requires as little effort and time as possible. In this edition, we busted the myth that Scrum requires work to be estimated in story points. Although it may be a useful technique in some situations, and many Scrum teams use it, it is by no means the only technique. In fact, we often recommend other techniques to teams as story points are easily abused. In this edition, we described some of these alternatives and explained why story points became prevalent. By doing so, we also explained how estimation fulfills a different purpose and a different role in Scrum than when you compare it to plan-based approaches. Above all, it's helpful to remember the quote by Esther Derby that estimating is often helpful, estimates often are not. The more complex the activity at hand, the more important communication and collaboration gets, but also the less certain the future is. What do you think about this myth? Do you agree? What are your lessons learned? Please let us know in the comments. And with that, we're reaching the end of this edition. Thank you very much for listening, and we really appreciate that you're taking time to learn something new about Scrum, and we can hopefully inspire you to try new things with your teams to make them more effective with Scrum. If you want to learn even more, go to medium.com/the-liberators. We've got a lot of resources for you there. If you like this podcast, please give it a thumbs up or like it on whatever platform you're listening to. We really appreciate your support. Having said that, we want to thank you again for listening, and we hope you see you again for the next time.